tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats Podcast. I'm your host, Stacey LeBaron. I've been involved helping homeless cats for over 30 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. And today we're speaking with Allie Taylor. Allie started Voters for Animal Rights in 2016 to bring a political voice for animals throughout New York State. She has passed numerous laws such as banning foie gras, banning wild animals in circuses, prohibiting the sale of guinea pigs in pet stores, and prohibiting down backyard breeders. She has TNR'd in Brooklyn. Allie, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So before we jump in and we start talking about all things community cats in New York City, how'd you get to be passionate about cats?
So I've lived in New York for almost 20 years in several different neighborhoods in Brooklyn and Manhattan. And when I moved to Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, in I think it was 2016, there were cats everywhere. And I had learned from neighbors that this was an improvement and that the number of cats that I was seeing was way less than folks who had lived in the neighborhood for decades had seen before. And that was not surprising to me. I always had known that there was a big cat problem in New York City, but this was the first time I'd lived in a neighborhood where it was right in front of my eyes. And so I decided that I wanted to start by TNRing my block. And like a lot of people in Brooklyn, we find that you don't have to go much further than your own block to find plenty of cats that need help. So I got certified and I started trapping.
So basically, you are like so many of the folks that do our TNR certification workshops on the weekends, which is you saw cats out there, you wanted to learn how to be able to help them, and you learned that you needed to get TNR certified in order to get access to other services in the city. And what were those services that you got access to when you did get yourself certified?
Well, to be clear, the city of New York doesn't provide any services to rescuers. You know, we have a municipal animal shelter system, you know, which will take cats and dogs, and actually they're required to take any type of animal that comes through their doors. But they do not have the staffing or the financial resources to run a TNR program. So just like most cities, it's completely on us. The great thing about getting TNR certified in New York is that then you get access to the ASPCA's spay-neuter clinic, where you can get them fixed and vaccinated for free. And then also some private veterinarians and some private clinics, such as the Brooklyn Cat Cafe, run through Brooklyn Bridge Animal Welfare Coalition, will give you access to free or low-cost services for rescuers. But really, that's it. It's very much it is a very expensive hobby. I don't really like to use the word hobby for that, but it's become almost like an exclusive type of activity, in that unless you have the time and the resources and an understanding partner or roommate and a car, it is very much cost prohibitive to take on the work that rescuers are doing across the city. And it obviously shouldn't be that way. And I know we're going to talk about that a lot on this show. So, yeah, and I think I was lucky in that I was in, you know, when I got TNR certified, I guess maybe it was 2016, 2017, the ASPCA was still accepting new rescuers to use the program. And now they're so inundated and so full that even if you take the TNR class in New York City, you can't use their clinic. They don't have, they're not able to accept new people anymore. And that's not a knock on the ASPCA at all. I want to be very clear about that. They're doing the best that they can with what they have. That's more of a knock on the city of New York, who has completely abandoned their responsibility to take care of our city's animals and provided no types of resources to rescuers throughout the city.
In your dream world, and you wanted to provide, you know, a wonderful city for community cats, what do you think the obligation of city funding would be?
Well, I think, first of all, the city needs to establish a Department of Animal Welfare. We have a Mayor's Office of Animal Welfare, but it's only staffed by one person, and she is wonderful, but there's no way that one person can take on the job for the whole city. we need a functional, fully staffed, fully funded department that has folks who are experts in how to maintain and get the population of stray cats and other animals under control. That's the first part. And that's a pretty tall order. For, gosh, at least 20 years, folks have been trying to convince the city council to create a Department of Animal Welfare. There's been some, you know, rumblings lately that we may try and like revive those efforts again when we get a new council and hopefully a new mayor in 2026. So stay tuned for that. But that is very much a long-term campaign that we'll need to embark on to get that done. Second of all, I think that there needs to be a significant amount of funding to hire professional animal advocates who can do TNR, right? Right now, if you find kittens in your backyard, or if you find a pregnant cat, or if you find any cat in your yard, it's on you. You have to get certified. You have to take off of work. You have to figure out where you're going to get the traps, where you can get an appointment. It is entirely volunteer-based, and there's no type of systemic help from the city. There's no scheduling system, nothing like that. So I think the city will need to make major investments into either providing stipends for rescuers who are doing the work on the ground and providing stipends for the organizations who are doing this, and additionally hiring people to do the job. Like, imagine if you have a few dozen people who their full-time job is to TNR cats, right? That would be amazing. Imagine how much work we could get done if that was the case. And then I also think that there needs to be major investments made into education in New York City, right? About why you shouldn't let your cats outside, why they need to be spay-neutered. On top of that, the city needs to make a major investment in making sure that every New Yorker, no matter what income bracket they're in, has access to free or low-cost spay-neuter and veterinary care. It's not just spay-neuter, it's got to be veterinary care as well, because as we know, oftentimes when people have a pet that is in need of medical care, and they can't afford a $2,000 trip to the vet, they'll let them go out in the street. Then those, you know, those once house cats then become street cats. So that's where I would really like to see the city going. You know, we have tried to look at other cities as models. I mean, I don't think there's that many cities in the country who are really doing it right. So you're kind of looking at different data and piecemeal. But I think the city needs to start making investments in the tens of millions per year in order to get this problem under control. And the way I see it is that it's kind of like, let's say that New York City said, hey, we're going to make our police force all volunteer, or our firefighters all volunteer, or our EMTs all volunteer. Like, oh, you need help? Well, you're going to have to call around until you can find a firefighter who happens to be available to help you put the fire out in your house. Like, people would say that's absurd. Or same thing with the Department of Sanitation, right? Imagine if you told New Yorkers, like, well, you want someone to take your trash away from your block? Oh, you're going to have to find a volunteer to do that. That's exactly what's happening here, but with animal care. So I would like to see the government starting to take this a lot more seriously. And I think they are. I think we are at a turning point now in the city, and we can talk about the hearing and what's been going on in the city council with that.
Yeah, I actually would like to even just take a dive right into that and segue into this next phase of possibility with the city. So I believe there's two potential opportunities on the line with the city of New York. Can you share what those are with our listeners?
Yes. So just so folks have context, over the past, I guess, 2 to 3 years, trappers and advocates have started really organizing, right? Like, we've really been organizing the cat ladies in New York City to teach folks how to lobby, how to get involved with local politics, because that's really the only way that we're going to get this done, right? There's not going to be some like magic knight in shining armor who comes through with millions of dollars and just helps solve the problem. I wish it worked that way, but it doesn't. The reality is that we need the New York City Council and also the state legislature to make significant investments in order to make a dent in this. So last September, we had a hearing at the New York City Council that was focused entirely on animal protection issues, and it was specific to animal rescue. Hundreds of cat rescuers turned out in person, and we all testified about our experiences with lack of funding for free and low-cost spay-neuter, not just for rescuers, but for pet parents as well. The overwhelming cost of vet care for rescuers and for everyday New Yorkers. And we offered solutions to our city council members. We are now in budget season here in New York City, which is when the city council puts together the FY, the fiscal year 2026 budget for the city. And it's a, you know, very long, contentious fight among the council and the mayor to get to a final agreement. But the difference is that this year's budget has a little bit of funding in it for both spay-neuter TNR and for a pet food pantry pilot program. So council members Justin Brannon and Lynn Shulman have proposed $1.5 million that would go towards spay-neuter, particularly towards TNR specifically. And they've also put in for $1 million to create a pet food pantry pilot program. So our job right now is to convince the city council that they should include that in the final budget. And this is really the first time that cat advocates have been a part of the budget process. Even for myself, I've worked on legislation for years, but I haven't worked on the budget process. So it's been really interesting to see, like, oh, this is how you get money from the city, and this is what's working, and this is what isn't. It's also, it's only a drop in the bucket, right? That money we talked about, the $1.5 million for spay-neuter, that may help get 8,000 additional spay-neuter surgeries. We need something like 200,000 per year in order to stay on top of the problem, but it's something. It's better than nothing. And our hope is that if we can get this funding this year, we can start going back year after year and showing how much has improved, showing the successes of the program, and, you know, continuing to build the case for why the city should make major financial investments in spay-neuter and low-cost vet care. You know, 10, 20 years from now, I would love to see a free or low-cost city-funded spay-neuter clinic in every city council district within New York. Maybe a pipe dream. Let's start with like one clinic in the city that's funded entirely by, you know, our city government. But that, I think, could be sort of a model for what could work throughout the city.
When we launched the Community Cats podcast, our goal was simple: share stories and strategies to help cat lovers turn their passion into action. But something amazing happened. Our community grew, and so did our mission. Over the years, we've added webinars, conferences, certification courses, downloadable tools, and a whole lot more to support people who care about cats. So it's time for our name to reflect everything we do. The podcast isn't going anywhere, but our overall platform is rebranding as Community Cat Central. It's the same team, the same heart, and the same commitment, just with a fresh new look and even better ways to help you take action for cats in your community. You'll start seeing updates soon, including a brand new website, smarter email tools, and resources that are easier to access and use. We're so grateful to have you on this journey with us, and we can't wait to show you what's next. Mark your calendar. It's happening this Saturday. Join us this Saturday to learn the art of trap, neuter, return, a powerful way to transform the lives of community cats. Brought to you by Community Cats Podcast and Neighborhood Cats. This session is for anyone who wants to turn their passion for cats into action. Whether you're a seasoned caretaker or just starting out, there's something for everyone to learn. Don't wait. Reserve your spot now at communitycatspodcast.com/get TNR certified. Are you getting your message across to your entire community? Do they know what programs you offer and what they can do to help? Learn more about how to effectively market your organization or just sharpen your skills with a free self-paced marketing course, The Fundamentals of Marketing on Maddie's University. The course is designed to provide a basic understanding of marketing and provide you with templates and tools to elevate and improve your organization's brand, voice, and audience, and have fun while doing it. You'll receive a strategic marketing plan template to download free. Go to university.maddiesfund.org and search marketing to enroll now. You'd also mentioned in making your case that you and a team of folks were building a presentation to sort of defend the case and the need for New York City. And I thought those numbers were pretty telling. So I don't know if you want to share those with our listeners.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable that in, you know, what is arguably the wealthiest, most prosperous city in the country, that we have some of the worst numbers in terms of per capita spending on animal care. So in New York City, the Department of Health allocates only $2.89 per capita for animal care, whereas Los Angeles invests $10 per capita, Miami-Dade County invest $13.70 per capita, and Dallas, Texas puts in $15 per capita. And again, New York City, $2.89. Really? That's the best we can do? That to me is unacceptable, and it's very, very telling about where our city government's priorities are.
I agree with you 100%. And I know you're diving into those numbers to actually see how those dollars are being spent. And, you know, it's not saying that all those extra dollars are being spent on spay-neuter programs, but there's definitely a lot more resources there within those departments. And so it's kind of like, come on, let's give the New York City folks a chance here and actually try and be thoughtful about how those dollars are spent so that then an impact is measured within the community.
Right. It is very frustrating, right? Because, you know, sometimes when we talk to council members or we talk to members of the public and we say like, hey, we want $20 million to run a city-funded, low-cost or free spay-neuter and vet clinic. And they're like, oh my gosh, that's so much money. Why should taxpayers pay for that? Well, look at how many ridiculous things the city of New York currently pays for, right? Like recently, Mayor Adams proposed millions and millions of dollars to improve the high-end shopping district in Manhattan. Like, I'm pretty sure that, you know, Louis Vuitton and Hermes and all of those, like, I don't think they need any more money. I think they're doing just fine on their own. And I can't think of a worse way to spend taxpayer money than on improving a high-end shopping district in Manhattan. Like, no, the role of city government is to solve city problems. And this is a huge problem. And this is something that's really winnable. So when I hear politicians say, oh, we can never afford that, I'm like, no, you can afford it, but you choose not to. You choose not to prioritize that.
And the other thing, too, is that there's a lot of differences with regards to the community cat situation, depending on the borough and the area that you're in. Also, however, I will say that your tourist area could expand into areas once the community cat situation is under control, because then people will go into those areas and they won't have a bad experience of seeing cats with runny, goopy eyes, or, you know, they won't feel uncomfortable in a place where there's really an elevation of the status of the cats, and they'll go, oh, you know, there's an ear-tipped cat there. What does that mean? And then there's like a house there. What does that mean? And it really elevated the status of cats and really helped the areas in Massachusetts that I worked in. When the cats were getting the help, other parts of the city got help in the area, and it actually helped spark and improve some gentrification into that area too. So there is some economic benefits of having a humane animal welfare program out in the boroughs. But let's list the boroughs. You tell me, what's the status of community cat in all the boroughs?
So, you know, regarding gentrification, I have to push back on that just a bit, because gentrification is not a good thing in New York City, right? Like, people and their families have lived here, sometimes multi-generational, for decades. And, you know, what we see in New York City is the wealthy areas are getting wealthier and the poorer areas are getting poorer. And it's not a coincidence that, you know, in wealthy parts of New York City, like the Upper West Side or Greenwich Village, you never see cats there, right? But if you come out to my neighborhood in Bushwick or Bed-Stuy or East New York or Brownsville, you will see cats everywhere. The city overall has a huge problem with income inequality, and the cat problem is indicative of greater issues in our communities as well, in that they should be investing just as much as they do in Brownsville and East New York as they are on the Upper East Side and on the Upper West Side, right? That's equity. That's fairness. So I really want to see the city stepping up and bringing resources to districts that really need it the most here.
That totally makes sense. I understand that wholeheartedly. And the reality is, too, that in areas where the services are needed the most for cats, that's where the services aren't located, right? That's where the service deserts are. And so that is a challenge. One other thing that you have done to try and create another opportunity out there is establish the VFAR Community Cat Fund. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So our board of directors decided that we wanted to do what we could with what we got and provide direct cash grants to TNR rescuers throughout the city. You know, we are a very small nonprofit. We have no full-time staff. None of us get paid to do this at VFAR. But, you know, all of us come from the rescue world. And so it's something that was really important to us. And we could see the pain that rescuers are feeling throughout the city. And we wanted to try and do something about it to let them know that they're appreciated, keep them motivated to keep up the fight in the city council. And we know that getting any kind of money from the city is going to take us years, right? Like, even if we get this funding approved in this year's city budget, the city then figuring out like how they dole it out and how they dispense it and what the qualifications are, this can take them forever. So we wanted to do what we can just to let rescuers know that there is support out there for them and we do care for them. So we were able to put together a pot of about $30,000. We invited individuals and organizations to apply. And we actually just notified all of our grant recipients of it. The grants are anywhere from like $150 a person to $5,000 for one of the larger organizations. And we're excited to see where that goes. One of the grants, actually the largest grant that we gave, was to Bronx Community Cats. And it's to help them set up a trap bank in the Bronx, which is huge because there's nothing like that right now. There's, you know, if you're in the Bronx, you have to go all the way to Brooklyn just to get spay neuter services. And so our hope is that this is something that will really take off. We also hope that some of the larger animal organizations who have a heck of a lot more funding than VFAR does, you know, the ones that have endowments and full-time staff, like, they need to start chipping in and start helping out. I'm not going to call anybody specifically, but that's my personal opinion, is if you got the resources to spare, like, you should do that. We also want to use this to show the city council that, again, if a small little nonprofit in Brooklyn like VFAR can scrape together $30,000 for cat rescuers, surely the city council, which has a budget that's in the billions, can figure it out as well.
Excellent. That sounds wonderful. Allie, if folks are interested in finding out more about the work that you do, how would they do that?
The best way is to keep up with us on Instagram. We're just Instagram at Voters for Animal Rights. Or go to our website at vfar.org and sign up for email alerts.
And is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Yes. If you are a New York City resident, particularly if you're a cat rescuer, we strongly recommend reaching out to your local council member as soon as possible and encouraging them to vote to include spay-neuter funding and funding for a pet pantry pilot program in the New York City budget.
Excellent. Allie, I want to thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope we'll have you back on the show in the future.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.